Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Let me welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And it's my prayer and my hope that you will study the Word of God in its context and that God will reveal Himself to you and to me in all in His glory and in His truth as it is in Christ. And today I'm going to be preaching from Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 7, and go through a few verses concerning this subject, the goodness of God's law. The goodness of God's law. And I would ask you, and I ask myself, have we really seen the goodness, the true goodness of God's law? Now, normally we would think about that in terms of society. We live in a society that is governed and guided by law. Our Constitution, for example, has laws that we are to abide by. We have statutes, and we thank God for that law. We thank God that He's given us a sense of that law, even in the natural conscience. And we know that it would be terrible if there were no laws. There'd be anarchy. But that's not what I'm talking about. And the law is good in that way in society because it keeps checks and balances upon men and women. And of course, we know there are lawbreakers as far as the civil law is concerned. But when it comes to God's law, and when it comes to the righteousness that is required by God's law, and when it comes to a sinner who has broken God's law, and that would describe all of us by nature and by practice, wouldn't it? If you don't agree with that, then don't ever quote Romans 3:23 again. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But when we talk about the law, we're talking about that which condemns us as sinners. Okay? And that's what the law says. The law condemns sinners to whom sin is imputed, charged, accounted. That's why in salvation, those who are truly saved can say, with the Apostle Paul, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. When God justifies a sinner, He does it based on law, justice, satisfied. So all of that. Okay? So what I'm talking about, when I talk about the goodness of God's law, I'm talking about, in light of that, how is it possible for a sinner who deserves damnation and eternal death, to have a right relationship with God? Does God set aside His law? Well, the answer is no. Does God ignore His law? Does God pervert His law? Does He break His law? And the answer is no. None of that. But God shows the goodness of His law, and that's what the Apostle Paul is describing here. He's talking about when he was an unregenerate person, an unbeliever, and how God brought him to see the goodness of God's law and the sinfulness of his sin. He talked about how those who are in Christ, sinners saved by the grace of God, are dead to the law. The law cannot condemn them. The law cannot charge them with sin. And so he says in verse 7, now this is Romans 7 and verse 7, what shall we say then? Now, he talked about in verse 6, he said that those who are dead to the law, justified before God, not guilty, righteous in Christ, they have life from God, and they serve God in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter, the written law. Okay? To serve in oldness of the letter, that is legalism, mercenary promise of earned reward, that's bad. That's an unregenerate person. That's a lost person. That's a legalist. That's a self-righteous sinner. So in verse 7, he asks this question, what shall we say then? What are we going to conclude about this? Is the law sin? Now you remember back in verse 5, Romans 7 and verse 5, he says, for when we were in the flesh, meaning when we were unregenerate, not born again, in unbelief, the motions or the passions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. And remember, I told you that that works in one of two ways. An unregenerate person looks at the law and either responds to the law in total rebellion, like a criminal. I'm going to break the law, you know. In other words, you draw the line, God draws the line in the sand and they've got to cross it. Or it works in the self-righteous religionist who determines, like the Pharisees of old, I'm going to keep the law to make myself accepted with God, to be righteous. That's a sinful passion too. I went back, I think, to Cain and Abel. Cain approaching God based on his works. See? He knew he had to be right with God. He knew he had to worship God, but he worshiped him in a sinful way. But here's Abel who brought the blood of the Lamb, which is Christ. So Paul says, is the law therefore sin? Is there something wrong with the law? Is the law bad? And he says, God forbid, verse 7, nay, no, I had not known sin, but by the law. Now, Paul, I don't think there's very many people who would speak of themselves as being sinlessly perfect in themselves. You know, most people, especially those who call themselves Christians, I'm not perfect. You know, I've seen that bumper sticker, you know. I can't remember what all it said, but he says, I'm not perfect, you know, but I'm a work in progress or whatever. We're all sinners. And I've said it often on this program that there are only two types of people in this world. There are sinners lost in their sins, and then there are sinners saved by grace. So he says, I had not known sin, but by the law. Now, Paul's going to show here that what he's talking about is not just that he didn't understand that he wasn't a perfect person or that he was a sinner in some ways. What he's going to prove here is that he did not see the exceeding extreme sinfulness of sin, but by the law. And it was the law, not as he naturally saw it. Because the law as we naturally see it, that's described in verse 5. When we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. He's talking about the law as God revealed it to him in the power of the Holy Spirit as it relates to Christ. Now let me show you that. He says, verse 7. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now that word lust there, it's translated one other place as the word concupiscence. And what it means is unbridled lust and unlawful desire. And what he's talking about, thou shalt not covet, covetousness is not a sin of action, it's a sin of the heart. It's a sin of attitude, sin of spirit. And so what Paul's talking about here is he saw how the law not only forbids sinful actions, but it forbids sinful thoughts, sinful desires. It's a matter of the heart. Now Christ taught that in the Sermon on the Mount. And also Moses taught it in the law. The summary of the law is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law summarized in one word, love. It's not just taste not, touch not, handle not. It's not like people who define righteousness by what they don't do. We don't, you know, you heard the old poem, we don't smoke and we don't chew, and we don't go with girls who do or boys who do. All that kind of thing. That's the way a lot of people want to measure righteousness. by what they wear. Like Paul wrote in Colossians, taste not, touch not, handle not. You know, we wouldn't have this. We wouldn't have a television in our house. We wouldn't have this, all that kind of stuff. Well, Paul understood that here that the law reached the heart, and Christ taught that. He said it's not only a sin to commit the act of murder, it's a sin to think it. It's a sin to desire it, to be angry with someone to the point that you wish them dead. It's not only a sin to commit adultery, it's a sin to lust. And so he covers that under covetousness, which is the unlawful desire, the greedy desire for things that we don't have, something that someone else possesses. And so he's showing here how the law reaches the heart. And then Christ, you remember he taught his disciples that when he told them, he said, look, it's not what goes into your mouth, what you eat or drink, that defiles you. The devil's not in the bottle, friend. The devil's in you and in me. It's what comes out of the heart. So if we choose to abuse whatever we drink or eat, that sin was already in our hearts. Now, yes, like for example, drunkenness is a sin. But that sin is already in your heart if you choose to abuse that. You know, somebody, you know, I see on the internet all the time these Bible diets. And they say, if you eat a diet prescribed by the Bible, well, I don't think, you know, I know there's stuff about food in the Bible and all that, but I can give you the Bible diet in one word: moderation. Being temperate. That's the Bible diet, moderate in all things, all right? Not excesses. All right, but Paul says, thou shalt not covet. But look at verse 8 of Romans 7. He says, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought or worked in me all manner of concupiscence, all manner of unlawful desires, lust. In other words, the law wasn't my problem. Sin within me, sinful desires, sinful motives, sinful goals. All right, that was my problem. The problem wasn't with the law. The problem was with me, sin. And he says in verse 8, for without the law, sin was dead. Now what he's talking about there is that in some respects, to some degree, before he understood the reality of the spirituality of the law, he didn't see himself as a sinner. Now I don't believe that Paul would have said he was sinlessly perfect. But he's kind of like a man told me one time, and when I was trying to talk to him about the gospel, he said, well, I know I'm not perfect, but I've never done anything bad enough to be sent to hell. Now that's the kind of attitude. Well, my friend, if you understand the goodness of God's law, you'll understand this. That if God were to judge you or me based upon our works and our efforts, we would all deserve to be sent to hell. Now that's right. You say, well, you don't agree with that. Well, you haven't seen the goodness of God's law. And that's what Paul's saying here. For without the law, when I didn't see that, when I didn't see the extent, the perfect righteousness that God's law requires, I didn't see myself as the sinner that I am. The perfect righteousness of the law, the goodness of the law, where is that to be found? Well, the Bible says this in Acts 17 and verse 31. It says that God has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, in that He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. If you want to see the perfection of righteousness of God's law, the real goodness of God's law, you know where you're going to find it? In Christ. The perfect God-man. The perfect God. The perfect man who never sinned, never had a sinful thought, a sinful motive, a sinful desire, or a sinful goal. And who kept the law perfectly? Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law, the fulfillment, the perfection, the finishing of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And so what he's saying here is without the law, sin was dead. Verse 9, he says, I was alive without the law once. In other words, I thought I was spiritually alive. I thought I was okay. I thought I was saved. I thought I was right with God. But I didn't. But I judged all of that without seeing the reality and the goodness and the spirituality of the law. But he says, but when the commandment came, in other words, when the reality, the truth, the severity, the justice, the righteousness, the perfection of the law came to me, sin revived. I saw myself in reality of what I was, and I died. Now that's a good death, because it's dying unto self. Now when is it that the commandment comes to a person? Well, it comes in Holy Spirit conviction, and if you'll look over at John chapter 16, I want to show you that. In John chapter 16, Paul said, when the commandment came, when I saw what the law really requires, I thought I was okay before that. I thought I was saved. I thought I was righteous. I thought I was right with God. I thought I was accepted with God. But then the commandment came. Somebody brought the commandment to my mind to show me the reality. Who was that somebody? It was the Holy Spirit in the preaching of the gospel, who shows that God is just and must punish all sin, and wherever sin is charged, God must condemn that person. And this is what he's saying here. Look at John chapter 16. Christ is talking about his death on the cross. His death is the accomplishment and establishment of the righteousness which God has imputed to his people. And out of his death and out of that righteousness, out of Christ, comes life by the Spirit. And so he says in verse 8, when he is come, when the Holy Spirit is come, that's what he's talking about, he will reprove. Now that word reprove means to convince. The Holy Spirit comes and he convinces God's people of something they were not convinced of before. For example, if you're ignorant of the righteousness of God in Christ and not submitted to Christ as your whole righteousness before God, you see, and yet you're convinced that you're saved, you're convinced that you're right with God, it's going to take a work of the Holy Spirit to convince you otherwise. And that's what he's talking about. He will convince the world of sin. Now, the world there doesn't mean everybody without exception. It's talking about those who are reproved, convinced, convicted, God's elect, Jew and Gentile all over the world. He's going to convict them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Look at verse 9. Of sin because they believe not on me. Here's what he's talking about. Now that's talking about the sin of unbelief, which is the mother of all sins, but here's what it really means. My friend, if I don't have Christ as my righteousness before God, if I'm not washed in His blood and clothed in His righteousness, my whole life is sin in the eyes of God now, not in the eyes of men. I may be the pillar of society in the eyes of men. I may be a Pharisee of Pharisees as touching the law. But if I don't have Christ as my Savior, as my Lord, if I don't have Him as revealed by believing in Him, then my whole life is sin. Nothing but sin. I have no righteousness. And then he goes on to say in verse 9 or verse 10, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. The Holy Spirit convinces that the only righteousness that will make me right before God is the imputed righteousness of Christ. Write that down. The only righteousness, the only perfection, the only goodness by the standard of God's law that will make me, that will save me and declare me not guilty, that will wash away my sins, that will enable God not to charge sin to me, but to charge righteousness to me, is the imputed, the accounted, the reckoned righteousness of Christ. And we do receive it by God-given faith when the Holy Spirit comes. And then in verse 11, he says, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And that's talking about the judgment of God of my sins in Christ, my sins imputed to him. And when Satan, the prince of this world, charges me or accuses me, his arrows of accusation do not stick because I'm washed in the blood and clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We'll go back to Romans 7 now. So he says in verse 9, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, when the Holy Spirit brought me to see the reality of my condition, sin revived. Everything that I thought was good and recommended me unto God, I found to be unto death. You can read about that in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul talks about all the things that I used to believe were good and right with God and made me and recommended me unto God, made me righteous before God. I count them all but loss that I may win Christ and be found in Him. You see, I count it all but dung, dead stuff. And he says, I died. It killed me. That's the goodness of God's law when it brings you in guilty and with no hope of salvation in yourself. But look at verse 10. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Now, what does that mean? Well, when God gave the law to Adam, it was the law of life. He says, you can eat of all the trees, but this tree of knowledge of good and evil you cannot eat. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Dying thou shalt die. And the law wasn't originally given just to kill people or anything like that, but we sinned in Adam and we fell. And so those who are trying to be saved by their law keeping, like Paul was before he was converted, he says, that which was ordained to life, I found to be undead, to death. You see, the law condemns sinners where sin is charged. It's death. And so he says in verse 11, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Now, Paul was deceived. Any sinner who seeks salvation to attain it, to maintain it, the reward of it by their works, is deceived. And you know what deceives them? Their sin, their selfishness, their self-righteousness, their self-worth, their self-love. And he says, that'll be the death of you. So verse 12, he says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just and good. The law is good. This is the goodness of God's law. So look at verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Now what Paul is saying there is this. The goodness of God's law is what showed him how much of a sinner he really was. And my friend, that's my prayer for you, for anybody. You who don't know Christ, you who don't know the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, you who are in religions, even if you call it Christianity, where you're trying to save yourself or keep yourself saved by your works, it's my prayer that the commandment, that which is good, that it that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the perfection of God to show you that that is all sin working in you and you need a righteousness you can't produce. That's why salvation is by grace and not by works. The book says, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Christ who kept the law. I didn't keep the law, and I don't keep it now. Should I try to obey God? Should I try to be the best I can be? Yes, but that won't save me. That won't make me righteous in God's sight because I still fall short. I can tell you by the grace and the power of God, I do love God, but I don't love Him perfectly. I still have problems with myself. There's a warfare, a struggle within me, and that's what I'm going to talk about next time in Romans 7. There, that's where Paul says the law still, even as a sinner saved by grace, the law still brings me in as a sinner who deserves nothing but death based on my works. But thank God. Thank God I have a righteousness that answers and equals the demands of God's law and justice. And it's a righteousness that Christ, as my surety and substitute, worked out for me on the cross by Himself. And it's given to me by the grace of God. I didn't earn it, didn't deserve it, had nothing to do with it. If I had anything to do with it, it'd be tainted, it'd be contaminated. But it's Christ and Him crucified and raised from the dead. He is my righteousness. If you want to see the goodness of the law, look to Christ. He's the goodness of the law. He's the righteousness of the law. He's the fulfillment of the law. He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And my friend, that's to anyone who wants it. Anyone who desires it. Anyone who, like Paul, sees the exceeding sinfulness of sin and the goodness of God's law. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.